series, and this is the second Sunday of this series that we're calling Keys to a Blessed Life, Keys to a Happy Life. And we're focusing on the eight Beatitudes of Jesus that are at the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount. And this morning, as we come to the second of those Beatitudes and focus on blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, I invite you to look with me at some portions of one of the great gospel stories of the ministry of Jesus to people who are mourning, from John chapter 11. Hear God's word. A certain man, Lazarus, was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent word to Jesus, saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God, so that God's Son can be glorified through it." Later on in the story, Jesus arrives in Bethany. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him while Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She replied, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one who is coming into the world." When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her crying, and the Jews who had come with her crying also, he was deeply disturbed and troubled. He asked, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to cry. Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again this morning, we have included in your bulletin some teaching notes, and I invite you to follow along as we go through this message together and break things down as you feel that God is leading you to do that. As I mentioned, today we're looking at the second of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Most of us, I think, know something about mourning. When you experience the loss in your life, it certainly doesn't feel like a blessing. I mean, it's heartbreaking to lose a loved one. What does Jesus mean when he says that feeling sad is one of the keys to happiness. Well, the fact is that there are a lot of losses in life. You can lose your health. You can lose your job, your money, your reputation. You can lose a dream. You can lose a marriage. You can have a birthday and be reminded of lost youth. And moving is a kind of loss. Every time that Betsy and I got the call to move to a new pastoral appointment, we shed a lot of tears. Being a parent, you can experience loss. It's painful to let go of the hand of that little one on the first day of kindergarten, and it's even more painful to let go of that hand when the child grows up and moves away. Some of you might be feeling the pain of the loss right now. What does Jesus mean when he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted"? Well, Jesus does not say, "Happy are those who experience heartache." He says, "Happy are those who mourn." As it says in number one in your notes, God doesn't expect us to be happy all the time. You know, there's this myth that if you're a believer, if you know Jesus, then you should always be smiling, always be happy. I remember long ago when I was in the children's department in Sunday school, we used to sing this song about being in right, outright, upright, downright, happy all the time. "Since Jesus entered in and saved my soul from sin, I'm in right, outright, upright, downright, happy all the time." And that's a nice song. I mean, more than 50 years later, I still remember it. But the song isn't totally true. I mean, being a Christian doesn't mean that you're always happy all the time. In the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, we read this: "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Life is filled with experiences that cause heartache and sadness. And sometimes the only appropriate response is to weep, to mourn." When you experience loss in your life, God doesn't expect you to simply grin and bear it and put up a good front. When our hearts are broken, God wants us to express it. When your heart is breaking, don't hold it in and pretend to be happy all the time. Let it out. Express it. Express it to a trusted friend, a family member. Take it to the Lord in prayer, in worship. When Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn," he's saying, "Blessed are those who are able to express their grief in healthy ways, for they will be comforted." In the Old Testament, King David experiences a lot of heartache. And he sees the importance of weeping and mourning and working through it. Look at what he wrote in Psalm 39. "So I was completely quiet, silent. I kept my peace, but it did no good. My pain got worse." David reminds us that when we don't express our pain, it only gets worse. He reminds us, too, that tears are a gift that God gave us to help us heal from life's hurts. Some years ago, the husband of one of our pastors, Jody Link, contracted AIDS after he got some blood during surgery. And the year after his death, Jody spoke to our annual conference about her experience of grief. She said of grief, "You can't get over it. You can't under it. You can't get around it. You have to go through it. When our hearts are broken, God wants us to recognize it and express it. And if we don't let the pain out in healthy ways, it will come out in unhealthy ways. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So, how does God comfort us when we experience a loss in life? How does God bless a broken heart? Well, there are at least four ways that God does this, and probably more, but I want to share four with you this morning. First of all, God comforts those who mourn by weeping with us. Did you ever think about that? When you're hurting, God is hurting with you. When you're grieving, you might feel like God is far away, that maybe God is even absent in your darkness, but he's not. The scripture tells us that God is never far away from any one of us, especially true in difficult times. In the gospel that we read a few minutes ago, that dear friend of Jesus named Lazarus has died. Now, Jesus had spent a lot of time in the home of Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. And when he gets to Bethany, Lazarus has already died. He's already in the grave clothes. He's already laid in the tomb with the stone rolled over the entrance. And Jesus comes to the place where Sister Mary and the women who are with her are grieving. And you remember what happens next. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." How does Jesus respond to the death of his dear friend? He doesn't try to minimize the hurt. He doesn't say, "Keep your chin up, Mary. Oh, don't cry, Martha." Jesus weeps. Some of us, when we were asked to memorize a Bible verse, would say, "I'll memorize John 11:35. You know John 11:35. It's just two words, right? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Two powerful words about the God who suffers with us. We have a God who cares, so filled with compassion that when you weep, he is weeping with you. In times of loss, God is there. He's not only there, he is feeling your pain. And the first way God blesses broken hearts is by his presence, by his compassion for us. And we discover this when we take it to the Lord. The second way that God blesses broken hearts is by giving us a church family. God gives us a church family for support. You know, God never intended for you and me to go through this life alone. God gave us a community of people to celebrate with us in good times and to weep with us when we're hurting. Perhaps you've seen this old Swedish proverb that a shared joy is double joy and shared sorrow is half the sorrow. And Betsy said to me just a few minutes ago, "Have you ever had so many people wish you a happy birthday?" I tell you what, my joy is doubled today. I'm going to have to take a long nap this afternoon to recover from all that. But it's also true that when we have sorrow and we can share it in community with people who love us, it makes the sorrow diminish as well. I love what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, some of it we read at the beginning of this service. We've included two verses in your notes, and I'd like to ask if we can read them together this morning. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. Be happy with those who are happy, and cry with those who are crying. Now, over the years, a lot of people have told me that when they've suffered a loss, I could not have made it through this, they say, without my church family. And many of you here have experienced this, I know. Sisters and brothers in Christ who were there with you through some of the most difficult times of your life. They didn't have to say anything. They were just there for you. And it made all the difference. Amen. And right now, you and I are in one of two positions. We're either going through pain ourselves and we need comfort, or times are pretty good and we need to comfort others. You either need comfort or you need to be a comforter. And if you're not in a season of loss right now, you need to be thinking, how can I do what Jesus tells me to do and comfort the people around me who are in pain? Now, as we think about comforting one another, there's two things I feel the need to say about comforting people. People as they go through a time of loss. And number one is, never minimize the pain of others. Don't try to help people by trying somehow to minimize their pain. When Betsy and I were in our first appointment long ago down in York, there was a couple that had a baby girl that was born the exact same day as our oldest daughter, Jennifer. And then over the next few years, the same couple experienced the loss of three pregnancies. And one day we were talking with them, and this young mom said, you know, there are two words that I wish people would take out of their vocabulary. Those two words are the words, at least, at least. And then she told us about well-meaning people, people that they loved who were trying to comfort them, and how they had said in the face of their grief, well, at least she had a daughter. And this couple loved their daughter, but they were so heartbroken over the loss. Oh, that we could eliminate her need. Try to talk to somebody in their pain by making things look brighter and better. It doesn't help. What we need to do is to be there and to listen and to care, not to try to minimize their pain. And then the second thing is never rush people. Healing pain and grief, if you've been through it, whatever your loss may have been, you know that it takes. And no one can tell you what the appropriate time is for you to grieve from anything in your life, because we all grieve in different ways, and each of us has a different timeline for working it through. Some of you may be familiar with Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church out in California, who wrote the best-selling book, 40 Days of Purpose, that this church used some years ago for a study. In 2013, Pastor Warren's youngest son, Matthew, died at the age of 27. And his wife, Kay, would later reflect on what they experienced together in the time of loss, and she wrote this brief little sentence. Whatever you're feeling right now is okay. A feeling is neither right nor wrong, it's just a feeling. You don't get over grief, you get through it. God comforts us when we mourn by drawing us in close to his heart and weeping with us. And God also comforts us by giving us a church family Not so that we can minimize each other's hurt or try to rush people through it all, but so that we can be there loving to care for one another. And then the third gift that God gives us. God gives us the hope of heaven. The Bible says that we have the hope of heaven. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Now, I know that Pastor John could say the same thing, that over the years, we've done many, many celebration of life services. And I went through that. I don't know how people survive a loss if they don't have the hope that there's more to come after this life is over. It makes all the difference in how we handle the death of a loved one. It makes all the difference in how you handle any loss in your life when you know that this world is temporary and that we have the hope of heaven awaiting us. That's what the Apostle John talks about near the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21, when he gives us this beautiful picture of eternity. Perhaps you remember these words. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning, crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Oh, that every one of us could embrace that promise today. To know that whatever our circumstances might be right now, no matter how painful they might be, one day the former things will have passed away. And God promises a future with no mourning, no crying, no pain anymore. God blesses broken hearts with his presence weeping with us. God blesses broken hearts by giving us a family, people to love us and people for us to love. God blesses broken hearts with the hope of heaven. And we know that God is faithful to his promises. And then there's this one more thing briefly. And that is that God uses our pain to comfort others. Whatever pain you might experience in your life, God can use that in a way that will lift someone else up in the future. I mean, who can better help a parent of a child with special needs than another parent who has a child with special needs? Who can better minister to somebody going through cancer than someone that has gone through it themselves? Who can better help someone going through the pain of an addiction or a family member trying to support them than someone who has known that pain themselves? God uses our pain to comfort others. The Apostle Paul said it beautifully in the second of the Corinthians, the first chapter. He says, God is the one who comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort other people who are in every kind of trouble. We offer the same comfort that we ourselves received from God. I think what Paul is trying to tell us there is that our greatest ministry to other people is often that ministry that comes out of that place of deep hurt that God has brought us through. You know, we began this service by celebrating all of the many ministries of our church, and we're so grateful for the ways that each of us is able to offer our gifts to build up the body of Christ. Every ministry matters. You know, ministry is not just about being on a committee or doing a project. Ministry is not just about giving your time or your talent or your tithe. When it comes down to it, ministry is really about relationships. It's about opening doors with Jesus. Opening doors with each other. Opening doors to the people of our neighborhood around us. We are here to build loving relationships, to love each other as Christ has loved us. And your greatest ministry is that ministry that blesses another person in the name of Jesus as you walk with them through their time of hurt. Now, I don't know what you might be going through right now. I hope that these are happy days for you. But all of us experience loss in life. And if you're going through a loss, if you're struggling with grief, I invite you this morning to express it. God loves you so much. His heart is moved by your grief. God loves you so much that He's given you a family and flock to support you and care for you. God loves you so much that He's given you the hope of heaven, the promise that one day we will be comforted from all men. God loves you so much that He's called you to ministry, and given you opportunities to love and care for others.